Welcome to Life Without Secrets. Do you often find yourself comparing your life to your friends on social media? You see the glamour, the success, the perfect family, the perfect kids, the awesome vacations. But what's really behind the highlight reel? In Life Without Secrets, we are going to dive deep and reveal the secrets, struggles, and strategies people have used in real life to get to who they are now and who they are becoming. Because the truth is, nobody is perfect. And you are never alone in what you're going through. So don't forget to subscribe to the show because it's time to connect on a deeper level and grow together.
Today, I'm excited to host an incredible guest, Phyllis Anderson, a seasoned veteran in healthcare with 28 years of experience, including being a fellow ER nurse for 22 years, raised as the oldest of eight in a modest home, and now a passionate health and wellness advocate. Phyllis is the founder and CEO of Carefolio. She is dedicated to empowering individuals to not just survive, but truly thrive, which we are all about here on Life Without Secrets. In this episode, we'll explore her transformative journey from the emergency room to entrepreneurship and how she's conquered personal challenges to help others live fulfilling lives. Join us right now as Phyllis shares her expertise and personal story of thriving against the odds. Phyllis, welcome to Life Without Secrets.
Thank you for having me, Jillian.
I'm so excited to have you on. I feel like it was so meant to be when we met. It was over a year ago now in North Carolina. That was so much fun. And I remember like you came up to me and it was like, oh, I'm an ER nurse too. And it was like, it's so nice to like have that background together and then also understand each other and where we're at in our journeys now as well. So I'm so excited to get to know you a little bit more on the podcast and kind of learn about you and what your story is and how you grew up. So I really want to learn more. You were the oldest of eight kids. And I think I read in like a little 1,000-square-foot home. How did that like early on shape you? And then did that have anything to do with you becoming a nurse? How did that happen?
Yeah, so you're right. Like the oldest of eight kids, I was thrown into a caregiver role from birth.
Yeah.
That was my birthright. And so all of that leading up to nursing was just kind of a natural fit. But growing up in a tiny house, we literally, you know, relied on each other and that teamwork. And my parents actually relied on me a lot to help with the younger siblings. And so as adults now, my siblings say, you know, we considered you our mother too. So even my youngest brother used to call me mama. And so I was, when he did that, I was like, I'm not your mom, I'm your sister. But then later as an adult, he says, no, you really were very, like you were a strong motherly figure in my life. And he was grateful for that. But
that's so cool.
1,000 square feet, 2 bedrooms. I'm sorry, the kids lived in the 2 bedrooms, triple bunks in each room. And then two of the babies slept in my parents' room growing up. So it was definitely humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And then what made you decide to go into nursing?
Well, with nursing, so I kind of want to back up just a little tiny bit. When I was a child, I used to pray because in this tiny home, I just had this thought. I feel like I was around 6 years old and I would pray that God would just make my life easier. We were a big Catholic family. Usually when you see eight kids, there's got to be something people either would ask, are you Catholic or Mormon? I was raised Catholic. And anyway, but I just would feel like God was saying, yes, there's more for you. And then at 17, I found myself pregnant. And I know you share your story about that too.
Right.
And that was another place where we connected so much. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I still felt God's presence. Like, it's going to be okay. You're made for more. You know, we're keeping the baby. We're figuring it out. And my husband and I have been married now 36 years. But
we
started out married at 18 and 19. We waited to get married. I was working at Miller's Outpost at the time. And I just wanted to say one other thing, because this really does make a lot of, I just want women to know out there, like, don't listen to some of the words that people are telling you, because they're just words. their words coming from people who are broken, who don't get it, you know, and they're coming from a place of their own fears. But I was working at Miller's Outpost and I was very pregnant and I was a senior in high school, and these young guys came up to the counter and I was checking them out, and they said, they looked at me, the one guy, and said, "What a waste. What a waste." And, but at the time I just looked at him like, okay, so let's finish your checkout. But God was just there telling me like, don't listen to that. Don't listen. And so again, just moving forward, my husband, also had a little calling in his life of he was made for more. And he, you know, he was a custodian when we got married, but he's like, I'm not going to do this. In 5 years, I won't be here. He didn't know what it was, but he knew he wouldn't be there. And then we met a friend, and this friend was going into the fire service, and he's like, this is it. I want to be a fireman. So he went to the fire academy and he goes, Phil, next door is a nursing program. And you know, you're always very interested in health and wellness and fitness and all that. And, I was like, that sounds very interesting. And he said, in 2 years, you can be a nurse. Well, come to find out, it's more like 4 years and even longer when you're raising two little babies, because I had two little babies by the time I was 20. So anyway, so that's how I found nursing. I was like, I went and volunteered at the hospital because I had a good friend that said, volunteer first, because, you know, I didn't want to waste any time. I had two little babies and I'm like, I can't try to figure things out. I need to have some certainty here. So, the moment I stepped foot in the hospital, I was helping a nurse. And what we did was we were caring for a man that was super, he couldn't do anything for himself. He couldn't talk. He couldn't move. He was contracted. He was elderly. He was in his last days. And when I saw him and what we had to do for him, I was like, I want to be that person. I want to be that person that guy can, you know, anyone can rely on to give them dignified care when they need full trust in whoever's literally touching them and being with them. So that's when I got my calling. And then it was just a no-brainer. It was just like the doors opened and I couldn't stop until, you know, I got my nursing degree.
It just amazes me how much our stories align. Like, I mean, it's wild to me. And, you know, when I was in high school, like same situation, except for it was a teacher that was like, oh man, you had so much potential, you know? And I just like, I think that, you know, maybe that was the situation for us being a similar situation, being pregnant and having those, you know, negative comments thrown at us to put us down, to make us feel like we're just another statistic. But like, how many people are out there and they're trying to start something new, or maybe they like want to do something, but their friends or their family are like, no, they know you for this one thing that you do, right? Like, they now know you as this person. And so to step into something new, it feels like you have to go, not only go against what your comfort zone is, but you have to like really push through doors of other people and what they have pictured as what is you, right? Like they've identified us as this person. And so now we have to not only face our own fears, but like push through the barriers from other people. And, you know, I think that that is so powerful. And I would love to hear like in that moment of your life, like, what was it that made you really push open your own door despite what people were saying about you?
Yeah. Well, as far as nursing goes too, I still felt like it's weird. I didn't feel satisfied. I felt satisfied for a while, but then it got to a point where I'm like, I'm made for more than this too. And I knew, I was like, Lord, what is it? What is it? Show me what it is. And finally, because it was kind of starting to feel some things in my life had changed. I was 41, stopped having periods. 48, I was really like, I was past menopause. Like you're considered postmenopausal at that point. And so my health, despite running marathons and half marathons and cross training and eating healthy, I was starting to gain weight around the middle. And I'm like, oh no, I did not sign up for this. How in the world? So Phyllis gets a little thing in her, you know, and I was like, I got to reach out to somebody. Well, first I said, I'm finally going to go see my doctor. And, you know, as a nurse, we go to the doctor when we're bleeding out. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it really has to be bad for us to make that appointment. And so I made the appointment. I saw my GYN and she didn't give me a lot of hope. I won't go into that long story, but she sent me away with her full blessings of whatever I found, you know, just go for it. But she even knew in herself, she's like, I know there's nothing really I can offer you. So I found my sister-in-law, who's also an ER nurse. I said, I need some help. You know, I'm doing things and, you know, it's not changing. She goes, no, you're doing everything right. But I just, you know, she had just started this program through supplements. Well, I went and said, I don't even care. Just let me type in my computer. What's your website? I'm signing up. And within a week's time, my life started to change. And so there was this God-given gift literally dropped into my lap. And I just decided, like, I felt again, I was like, ooh, this, there's something here. There is something here. And it's not the bow or the package ribboned up that I thought it would be. But I started sharing my experience and it blossomed into a six-figure second stream of income within less than 11 months. And,
oh, wow.
But I caught the vision of like, I can help so many people. Women don't need to struggle with menopause. That was my first thought, was how can I help more women have relief from menopause symptoms in a natural, holistic way because of the thriving, not surviving, prevention over prescription. You know, I say prevention is the emergency. Like, so that is my passion now. And once I found that alongside my nursing, I continued to work those two things together for about 3.5 years. And like you said, some people came with me, my nurse buddies, and other nurses just turned their head and they were looking the other way, like I was some alien with a third eye or something. And it's so interesting to me because I'm like, something about it made them uncomfortable, or like to see me thriving like this and making so much money and traveling. And there became some like big feelings of, oh, look at her going all these places. And instead of like, hey, what are you doing? How can I do that too?
Or like, let me just clap for you on the sidelines.
Yeah,
which
or
is
like,
super
let's
cool
just
too.
Lift you, sister. Yeah. And some did and some didn't. And so that was unfortunate. But I, you know, there was times where those voices were in my head like, oh, start, like just hunker down in front of those people. Then that was like, no, I'm not going to do that. They can come with me or they can stay right where they're at. And I bless them where they're at. But the ones that want to come up with me, like, let's go, let's change the world, ladies, you know? And we were able to pay things off, get into a place of being debt-free, except for a mortgage. And in 3.5 years, like who gets to do that? Who gets to do that?
Yeah.
And then I finally decided it's time to let the nursing license go. So at 51, I was able to retire my nursing cap.
Wow.
and move on.
Yeah. There's so many things I want to bring up, like in what you just said. So first, I want to touch on prevention over prescription. And this is something that I feel so strongly about as well. It's really why I started the podcast, to be honest, because, you know, in the ER, we see a lot of like, we put Band-Aids on people's problems, right? And like, it feels almost like, and it's why I like working in resuscitation and trauma, because I feel like I'm really good at that. And it's a way that I can really help somebody in that moment instead of just putting a Band-Aid on, you know? And I think the majority of people, you know, we are putting a Band-Aid over things and not getting to the root cause of the problem. And so I want to know, like, I want to hear more from you about prevention over prescription. I love what you just said. And I think that like, if more people became more aware of their body, of their emotions, like our world would become a lot better and people would be a lot more healthy. So I want to hear your take on that.
Oh, sure. So once I realized, once I dug a little bit more deeper into the products that I had aligned myself with, and I, you know, again, I looked at every ingredient, I cross-referenced 3 different very reputable medical websites that we would use, you know, that medical professionals use. I spent probably 3.5 hours on each product that we offered and condensed it into, I have a YouTube channel, Phyllis Anderson, and I have all the products there. But when I dug in deeper, I fell more in love with them because I'm like, science has studied the supplements. The supplements are studied. There are, you know, documented studies there, but yet doctors will say, oh, that's not FDA approved, you know, which supplements don't have to be FDA approved, but there's some things that are FDA approved, like as in Xarelto, I probably shouldn't say names, but you know, it's a blood thinner. And we would have people standing, as you know, out in the parking lot, literally bleeding out because of that drug that's FDA approved. And so like we're resuscitating people who are, it's the symptoms or the side effects of pharmaceuticals, prescriptions, you know? And so that's when I was like, this is blowing my mind. Like, this is crazy. So when I saw my health change and I realized that gut health is a big deal, like just look up gut microbiome, candida yeast overgrowth, magnesium deficiency, you guys, these are big things. Look it up. Because gut health, your immune system's stored there, like 70% of your immune system's there, 90% of your serotonin, 90% of your melatonin. These are your happy hormones, your sleep hormones. And then, and Jillian, you can say too, like, what are the usual suspects on a medication list when they would come in to triage? All that stuff. And high blood pressure, high cholesterol, you know, and omeprazole, right, for acid reflux. Well, this supplement line like addresses all of that, reduces inflammation, balances the gut, and balances blood sugars. So we don't talk about that. We don't talk about prevention. Like if we balance all of that, your body's in alignment. And then you don't have to see these other negative effects. And when I started, like I've been doing this 7 years, I have 2,500 people underneath me. I've seen some incredible testimonies, and it's from natural plant-based products. And so instead of a prescription and doctor's appointments and just another band-aid, because those are band-aids, they're not getting to the root problem. Getting to the root problem is how you prevent things from happening. And then watching people's health, even when they're older, like my cousin is 58, lost 50 pounds. He's off all his medications. He was told he was diabetic. And that's when he finally said, okay, I'm sick enough. Let me go call my cousin. And that's when he got, you know, we signed him up and we got like, you get me as the coach, you know, so I'm coaching people alongside. And you just watch things change. And I was like, okay, like he's off all those meds. He doesn't have to have doctor's appointments anymore, like unless he gets an annual or something. But it's more of like the doctors are giving him a blessing of like, go on with your life. Good job. Keep doing whatever you're doing. So like, who wants to save money? Who doesn't want to have to create these appointments that sometimes you can't get into for 6 weeks or 8 weeks or even longer, right? Or now you're just relying on an urgent care or an emergency room for your normal, regular, like healthcare, right? Because your physician, your primary literally doesn't have time for you.
Well, and that is a huge problem right now that we're having, especially around here. Like when my son a month ago, you know, he had that head injury, and I spent like 4 hours trying to find a doctor that would see him within a adamant amount of time, which was important during those crucial week, you know, of recovering from a head injury. And to follow it and get a baseline and all that. And it was really hard to find someone. And luckily, you know, I work in healthcare because I was able to pull a little bit of strings, if I'm being honest. But like we do have a world where, you know, we do need more physicians because, you know, there's not enough of them to see all of the people in the growing communities, especially as in ours is very much growing. Same. But like, yeah, prevention is just so important and gut health is important. You know, and I study emotions and how those affect the body. And so there's so many different ways that we need to look into before we just smack a Band-Aid on it. But you know what? That also requires people to be accountable for their own health, right? And, you know, like you said, like us nurses, sometimes we can be the worst at holding our own self accountable for what we know, right? Like even us, you know, like we're not trying to come down on others for not maybe taking that, because, you know, I'm sure we've all been there. And like for me, right, it was like, I was good at being an ER nurse in the beginning because I was so used to putting others' needs before my own. And I was curious if that was something that you kind of experienced as well in your life. And then making the transition, how has that been for you? Or did you learn things while you were a nurse to not just survive in that arena as well, but also thrive and then, you know, how that led you to be open for other opportunities.
Oh yeah, this is a good one. And it took me a long time. So I appreciate you asking this. Yeah, my husband used to call me Fix It Phyllis. He probably still has that ready to go at any moment because I grew up fixing things. I was the oldest, you know, of those kids and helping them with all their problems. And so it really became so ingrained in my identity. And then also having my father, I didn't say this, but my father was an alcoholic growing up and he stopped drinking when I was 16. But you know, I got the younger years of him and his behaviors. And so as a child of that, of an alcoholic, your eyes become wide and alert to what is going on and what to expect and how can I fix it before it gets bad. So it really enabled me to be an incredible triage nurse and ER nurse because I could see sick from the doorway and know here's the next steps, what to do. But so I was very outward focused. So here's where I'm going is I could see you and I could see them and I could see her and I could see him. But I wasn't looking at Phyllis. Like my obsession was my disease, my obsession with other people and helping them and fixing them was my disease. So I had, just through working with other people and the supplements and just having that experience of like, oh, they don't want to be fixed and it's okay. Everybody gets to be who they get to be. And then another program I found, I'm just going to give it a shout out, is Al-Anon. Actually, for years, I was told, go to Al-Anon. You should really go to Al-Anon. And I just, I was not going to do that. I'm like, everybody will know me. Everybody will know my family. I don't want to dishonor people and I don't want them to know what's in my business. And it's not that at all. So we all have these thoughts, right? And feelings. And I think it's just good for you to be vulnerable, open yourself up to opportunities and just say yes to any type of personal growth, like being in rooms like you and I, where we met, working on ourselves. Like that's what Al-Anon is, you know, coming to live at peace with ourselves and others. And, you know, and finding serenity along the way. So once I found peace and serenity in my own life, I like guard that with everything because everyone gets to be who they want to be, right? I can offer opportunities or we can offer opportunities for people and there's zero judgment attached. That's what I love. It's like, you just let it go. It's all okay. You know, yes, I have opportunities, but maybe there's some other opportunities that I don't have or know about. You know, I'm not here saying I know everything, but gosh, I've learned a lot along the way. And I just feel like if I could speak to my younger self, boy, would that have saved me some heartache along the way or just helped me out. But I don't know. I believe in our journey is our journey and just here today to try to make a difference. That's all.
Yeah. So you said you retired from nursing and then you have also created something called a Carefolio, which, you know, my family is using as well. Can you tell listeners about the company you've started, Carefolio, and what that is, which I think is super cool?
Thank you. So yes, so look, I found another need and it was over five different family members and friends that when they were in a position of just like cancer journey, my grandparents were just aging. Actually three friends, it was cancer. And I created an off the shelf just binder where we kept everything organized for them. And from doctor's appointments to symptom checking to just journaling things. We actually helped one of my friends. She was 43 when she passed away and I was 42 at the time. And, you know, we were managing her small children and life and house and everything. And so, it was like 11 years later, I just kept getting that whisper again, that knowing of like, you got to make like, this is something everyone can benefit from. And so that's when Carefolio was born. And really, it was a friend of mine. She had been diagnosed with melanoma. She said, I have got all these medications. I can't keep track of them. I heard you're working on this journal thing. Can you just give me the medication section? And I said, you know what, we are almost done. And I felt like, let's just turn up the heat on this sucker and get it finished so we can give it to my friend Gina. And so we did. And I said, you know, through her need to have something in front of her to quickly help her keep track of things so that there's less mistakes. And just, you know, she was on a mission of like saving her own life. We just got it done. And so she was the first person to have this mock journal in her hands. Sadly, 6 months later, she did pass away, but I just felt like it was something in a time that was, that provided a resource for her, her family, her children, like whoever was coming in during that time to know what was going on, who left off where and what's to do next, you know? And it has really like blossomed into so much more than just caring for someone in the home or at the bedside. It's like, do you have a special needs child, a fragile child? Like it's really, it runs the age spectrum from 0 to 120 or however long people are living these days. Or if you're just wanting to prevent, like be proactive with your own health, like start tracking things now. Like when was your last mammogram? When did you have your last pap smear, you know, or how is that annual physical going? And what were your blood work? Is there something you're tracking? Like if you take your binder, cause it's a 3-ring binder, so you can add, take away, it's like, it's for you to use. There is so much, I say there's 28 years of experience in that binder that I feel like comprehensively as an ER nurse, if you were to come in and hand us this binder, we'd be like, thank you. Let's get to work. We know exactly what they want. Here's their medication list. Here's their, you know, history and physicals throughout the years and last set of blood work. Like it's right there in front of us. And so, you know, I say 1% of people, wouldn't you agree, come prepared with a medication list?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And for maybe sure. Even less than that, honestly, or have a good idea of what they're taking or when their last doctor's visits were or the symptoms. Like if you say, how long have you been having that headache? Most people say, I don't know, 7 days, when in reality, they might have been really struggling with it for on and off for 3 months. These kind of things would help us and definitely help the physicians that are like searching for a good diagnosis, right? Yeah. Instead of just practicing medicine, it gives them a chance to really like dial it in and be more efficient with caring for you.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, like one of the little bit frustrating things about our healthcare system is that a lot of the different kind of healthcare systems, whether it's Kaiser or this company or whatever, they don't talk to each other. So, you know, if I get a patient from a different healthcare system, I know nothing about you, even if you're 80 and that other system knows everything about you. But if you are having a true emergency, like you have to go to the nearest emergency room that has the specialty services available to you. And so we might not know anything about the person, right? And so it is nice to have the family be able to grab the binder and, you know, then we know what that person's wishes are right away, or the firefighter, you know, can grab and be like, oh, no, this person does not want to be resuscitated. It says right here in this binder, it's right here available to us. You know, these are things that we face every day there.
Every single day. Yeah. And you bring up a good point. So right in the beginning of the binder, if they just had it opened, my husband being a fireman paramedic, he was like, this is exactly what we would need to know. This is perfect. Like everything's right here on this one page. And then behind it, you can put your do not resuscitate orders or your advanced care directives, because we, even in the hospital, in order to honor your wishes, like if you're able to tell us right verbally, we'll honor your wishes. But what if you aren't able to? And then you let your family decide. You know, if you want your wishes honored, then again, just be prepared. And that's what the Carefolio does for you. It doesn't matter what your age, because as Jillian and I can tell you, like none of us are guaranteed like the next 2 minutes of our life, you know, nobody is, you just never know. So my husband and I have our Carefolio and it's beautiful. So it can sit on the shelf. Our kids know, oh, there's their Carefolio. If something happens, we have a comprehensive phone book in there too, that has emails, passwords, like login information for our financial institutions, our attorneys, anything that keeps our house running, everything is in here. So it's kind of also like, you know, estate planning in a sense. You know, it's not comprehensive estate planning, but it's gonna, you can actually add any other paperwork, 3-hole punch it, stick it in your Carefolio. So I was told you should spiral bound this, because it'll be, the cost will be less. And I said, I don't want that. That's not going to be helpful to the person. They need to be able to add things to it, take things out. You know, if you don't want your usernames and passwords in there where your caregivers are coming in to care for you, take them out, put them in your safety deposit box, or give it to that family member that you trust and care. It's just, it's really beautiful because you can, every section tells you how you should use each section, but it's your journal. You can create whatever you want out of it. So.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. The other thing that is really nice about it, and I know because I had bought one for our family as well, is like, you know, oftentimes, like when we go to the doctor, we totally forget to ask all the questions, right? So I love that it has a section of the question and then the answer to the question, so you can just bring it with you, right?
Yes.
So good.
And then it's also like the congruency of like, I saw the ENT here, and then I saw the cardiologist here, and I saw the pulmonologist here. Each physician can see, oh, that was your last visit. And it's right there. There's three visits per page. And it's essentially a year. If you're really using it a lot, it could last you a lot longer than that. But I wanted something that was a good 12 months. So again, depending on how sick you are, or how much you're seeing, you may need to each year purchase a new binder or have it for a while. So,
yeah. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I also want to know, like, what advice would you give to someone who like wants to make a significant change in either their personal life or their career, kind of based on your own experiences?
Gosh, if you are feeling that knowing that, like that just burning in your gut, like you just have this unsettled in a good way, like I'm just not supposed to be here, but I don't know how to get there. Then just ask yourself these six words. What is my next best step? Just ask that. And then your brain is going to get busy trying to figure it out. And then, you know, get in the rooms with like these masterminds and things like where Jillian and I met. It's worth the money, you guys. You are worth it. It's worth getting in these rooms because that's where sometimes it's where the spark happens. It's where it's like, you know, like I didn't know these supplements would fall into my lap. All I knew was I had hot flashes. I was isolating. I was gaining weight around my middle, 27 pounds actually in 2 years. Something had to change, and then it did. And I could have ignored the vessel and said, oh, that's nice. Okay, I'll just take this and be quiet about it. Or I could say, oh my gosh, like how can I help others? So that's where Fix It Phyllis, it's a good thing. So sometimes, right, sometimes you think, oh, this is my, like the negative to my personality, or I can say there's a gift in it too. Yeah, it can have some negative consequences trying to always fix people, but it also was such a blessing having that just burning in my gut. But I think that's it. And then just not worrying about what other people think. Like 50% of my family has supported me with my supplements. The other 50%, they're doing their own thing, and I bless them. Like, it's totally okay. But I'm doing me, and I'm worried. Like, when you look at your values in life, mine's my faith, my family, right? Those are my top two, and my health, okay? And just love. Like, I just want to be a beacon of love, you know, because I think if you lead with love, you just also can't go wrong.
Yeah. Well, and I also want to point out like what all of these things have in common, which is building a lot of self-awareness, right? Like whether it's the, you know, taking supplements to be proactive about your health, like where am I in my health journey right now? And like, what do I want to heal in my body? And like, what are the things that I need to do that, you know? And then it's like, okay, your carefolio, right? When we start writing down like, you know, everything about our health journey, like we start to become more aware of what that really looks like. And maybe like from that, we can question like, is this how I want to be living? And can I do something else about it? And I think, you know, these are important questions that I ask myself. And I see Phyllis, like, you know, you're talking about the events that we go to and the masterminds, and like, this is all a lot of personal development work. And so although you're, you know, Fix It Phyllis, right? Like you said, I think that like knowing you, like I also see that like you have a a lot of self-awareness now. And I think that, you know, when we are in, you know, nursing and we're giving and we're constantly depleting our energy levels for other people, right? Like we now get to be in environments where we get to fill our cup and now you get to solve people's problems, but from a place of like peace, right? Yes. And not a place of chaos or depletion or not understanding what Phyllis needs, right? Like you get to take care of you. That's what I'm hearing, right? Like through taking your supplements, through creating this beautiful care folio and like on this journey and like not listening to the opinions of others, like that's when we aren't listening to the opinions of others, it's not an accident. It's because we've done our own self work.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's always going to be the naysayers.
Always going to be the naysayers. And some people may say, oh, she just like has this knack and she just got here. Like, no problem. Let me just say the path doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but you know, you'll figure it out along the way. And there's been days where I'm like, feel like I'm hyperventilating and I have to just be like, but honey, everything's always worked out. And I just come back to that. It's like, you know, you have to have these like anchor words or anchor thoughts or something that just pulls you back in to say, don't listen to those words. Like, in fact, when you get to know yourself more, you'll see you'll see the adversary, you'll see the negativity, you'll see that like coming at you with wide open eyes. And you could, you know, put your hand out as a big stop sign, like, nope, stop, freeze, you know, and take deep breaths, say those words. Daily affirmations are a big one. Those kind of things. Yeah. But it's really like when I focus in on myself and what does Phyllis need, I fill my cup first. Then it overflows to others. So it's not being selfish at all. It's taking care of the person that needs the oxygen mask first, right? It's like the airplane is such a great example of the flight attendant doesn't say, put the oxygen mask on everyone else around you and then put it on yourself. You won't be around to get it on yourself later and you won't be able to help other people for sure if you don't help yourself. So in the beginning of my Carefolio, really the very first page, very first action page is self-care. Because if the caregiver isn't caring for themselves, and that may be you, maybe you're on a cancer journey, you're caring for yourself, you've got to still take good care of yourself. And so there's tons of free ideas that you can do. It doesn't mean a big massage, you know, at a local spa. It's just little things like that warm bath with some awesome Epsom salts, lighting some candles, like whatever it is, but just taking that time for you.
Yeah, I love that. I also want to point out something that you just said. Everything always works out, right? And I think that that's a mindset that me and you probably feel really indulged in because of our similarities in the challenges that we faced, right? Like both of us were 17, pregnant, we're told that we weren't going to do something, but the power of our choice to do it anyway, to take that step forward. Like, I want to remind people like how powerful that is, because those are the things that enable us today to say everything will work out, right? Because we took that leap of faith and we believed in ourselves and we worked really hard to get to that point. And so if you're really struggling, maybe that's a point for you to make a choice to keep going, to really choose that difficult path. And because on the other side of it, you're going to be saying, like Phyllis and I, everything always works out. Right? Like when we go through those hard times and you come out on the other side, that's where you develop that mindset, right? And I say that when you said that, I was like, I say that all the time. Like even like, you know, being at this event and like, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I wonder what she's going to ask me up there on stage and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to stress about it because everything always works out and what's going to come is going to come and it's going to be what was meant to be, you know? And I think like when you, that's part of learning to trust ourselves, you know, when we can go through those hard times and make the choices that are meant for us and that are, we know are good for us, even though they're so hard. Mm-hmm. you know, like those hard choices when we step into that and step on the platform, like those are the changing moments where we get to say, yeah, everything's going to work out.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if it's Coco Chanel. I've seen different this quote everywhere, but it's, you know, you ask yourself, what if I fall? And then the answer to that is, oh, darling, but what if I fly? Or what if you fly? Yep. So, you know, so if you feel yourself, that self-doubt setting in, just ask yourself, but what if this is on the other side? You know, it's kind of like you have to run through fire, but then on the other side of fire is this incredible, like, let's just call it rainbows and unicorns or whatever you want to envision, but it's, you're almost there. Like, don't stop before you get there. It's like running a marathon. I've run 3 marathons in my life. If you ever want to like push yourself to the limits, like do something big like that, accomplish it. Because I don't care if you walk across that finish line, the fact that you walked across 26.2 miles is insane. And you need to celebrate that. I don't care what your time is, you know, but if you quit at mile 19, that's not going to feel really great. You know, like if, unless something happened and you were taken to the emergency room on a gurney, you know, but finish the race, you guys, finish the race. It's not going to be easy. Anything worth having is not easy because you're pushing yourself outside of what we know as our comfort zone, which I love at this mastermind we just attended. Is your comfort zone comfortable? Are you really comfortable in that comfort zone? Or are you feeling that, knowing that nudge, that whisper that there's more? Start being curious about it, because your curiosity could be like an answer to just something really big, your next breakthrough.
Yeah, love that. So I want to know, can you explain now today in your life, what does thriving, not just surviving, look like for you?
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, thriving is being happy right where I sit. And not thinking about like just being happy with exactly what you have right here and right now. Because if you're not happy with what you have right here and right now, you're not going to be happy with the next thing that comes along. There's always going to be something more, another carrot, another prize dangling. Just my thriving is just enjoying the journey. Like I even have a sticker on my computer that says, enjoy the journey. Because at one point I wasn't. I was like, oh, I made it to this top level rank in my company, but I can do more. Like I wasn't even celebrating that second. You guys, I didn't celebrate it. I kind of got teary and I was like, but here's the next jump. So you learn so much along the way. And if I'm not enjoying the journey, it becomes burnout, and it'll become burnout for you too. So thriving is 100% having gratitude today for all the things in your life, even the hard stuff, because the hard stuff may not feel like a gift right now, but down the road, I promise you, I don't care how hard it is either. You can think of the hardest thing you're going through right now. It is going to grow you beyond things that you can't even imagine. And down the road, you're going to say, wow, my faith was strengthened. Like the relationships I made in that hard are priceless to me today. You know, or whatever, you know, it just, or grew your marriage even through some hard things, you know, it's just worth it. It's worth the struggle. Growth is in the struggle, and gratitude will ground you and create a thriving atmosphere instead of like this desperate survival mode. That's not great. That creates more cortisol. It creates more weight gain. It creates adrenal fatigue. Like just stop and take some deep breaths and just be thankful for what you have, because we have a lot, you guys. If you live in the United States and your ears are on this podcast, you have everything you need. We really do.
Yeah, I totally agree. So how can people connect with you from here? How can they get a Carefolio?
Great. So I have a few things. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And so I have my personal page, which is Phyllis Halsell Anderson. And then all over, and that's on Instagram and Facebook. But then if you're looking for the Carefolio, just simply go to carefolio.com and you can order yours today. In fact, if you order now, there's always going to be something there, because I'm just a generous person. But right now there is a $10 off code But otherwise, I always have some really amazing freebies that if you give me your email, we can stay in touch. And I've got a Carefolio caregiving community on Facebook. And that is where I'm going to be hosting a webinar coming up on May 9th. So I'll be advertising that there more. And it's great. I have this incredible guest. She's nationally known. Her and her husband, actually, they were on Good Morning America. But they are advocates, because I'm an advocate. That's my big word, is advocacy. Carefolio is advocating for, you know, good organized care. But they advocate for Alzheimer's. Her husband was diagnosed at 45. He's 50 now, and his disease is progressing. But they just got back from Washington, D.C. They are lobbying for more money and funds and research and all of that. And I cannot wait for you to hear from this beautiful family. Tony will be joining us too, giving us his testimony. And then Corey, his wife, will be talking about how she's had to advocate for her husband and how their family's life depends on the work they're doing right now. So I have chills because, like, again, this connection with this family, they live in my town. My brother went to high school with this gentleman. And it just blows my mind how God works things out all together. And so between the two of us, we'll be advocating for, you know, just for awareness, self-care, and a way to stay organized through it all. And so I can't wait. I can't wait for the webinar and more.
How can people register? Do they need to register for the webinar?
Yep. So I will have a Zoom link. So just hit me up at hello@carefolio.com and I'll get that link to register.
Okay. And I can include that in the show notes as well. But thank you so much, Phyllis, for coming on. This has been such a treat. I feel like we just have so much in common. And, you know, I'm so grateful for you to come on the show. I'm so grateful I got to see you this past weekend at Amberly Lago's event. What a beautiful event.
Yes.
And I'm just grateful for you in my life and for coming on.
Oh, thank you. I don't believe in coincidences, and I'm grateful for Amberly. Isn't it beautiful? All the little fingers and hands that it took to connect us. But, oh, honey, I'm so thankful and grateful for you too.
So cool.
Thanks for having me.
To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope you found this conversation as empowering as we did. Remember to embrace your journey, thrive in your personal and professional life, and check out more episodes for inspiration and growth. Don't forget to visit our website, lifewithoutsecrets.com, and follow us on social media for updates and more content. Keep thriving and keep living a life without secrets.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Life Without Secrets. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Once again, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.